This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We are going to be bringing you some of the cacophony of voices and sounds from the historic People's Climate March. I think it was indeed of historic proportion. Yes, because of the numbers of people in attendance. Yes, because of the incredible diversity, diversity of age, diversity of color, diversity of location from the global south and points north around the globe who came to express the concerns of the people of the planet for SOS, save our planet. Everybody's involved to change everything. We need everybody. And while we look at some of the highlights of what we experienced as Building Bridges, we have to tell you that right now as we speak, what is most critical is the struggle does continue. It continues with the Indigenous People's Summit. And right now, I just passed by one of the largest banners I have ever in my life seen. A full square block of three corridors of traffic on Lower Broadway. The protesters, which number some 3,500 strong at different points during the day from 9 o'clock through this very moment. And this was the flood Wall Street that is directing itself to the plutocracy, taking the mood of yesterday, carrying it on and carrying it right to the foot of Wall Street, to the plutocracy, to confront the corporate elite, which is the instigators of our climate miseries. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when you think of a 4 billion year old planet that in less than 200 years of the Industrial Revolution has placed our planet on the precipice of absolute environmental disaster. Well, I was delighted to see my sisters and brothers who were down there in profusion at the flood Wall Street area. There had been 2 arrests earlier. They didn't make it to the seat of power, but the periphery areas, there were sit-downs and traffic stoppages for at least 5 hours. The wonderful organized chaos prevented the police from really engaging in any mass arrests, although the pepper spray now has begun to come out, and I dare say that the continuation of the protests will lead to the mass arrests, which were anticipated and planned. And all of our responsibilities to incorporate a climate agenda, to take up the issues of environmental justice and environmental racism in all the work we do, because SOS, we must save our planet.
And save our planet, we must do, and we must be careful to see who we are, because there will be forces that will say that they are with us, but they are really the instigators of the crisis to begin with. And because certain corporations sponsored the march, we must be very careful in the program that comes from this and to see that we are not co-opted in this movement. And it's especially significant that the Flood Wall Street movement is coming out of this to show which side they are on and which side the corporations are on.
And it's always about which side are you on. And so we are going back to lend our efforts to bring you the voices of the working class that said it loud and said it clear, and it's best to hear it directly from them. Now, our input to saving our planet and bringing you the People's Climate March.
Henry Garrido, Associate Director of ASME DC 37. Henry.
Almost 2 years ago, we witnessed the devastation of one of the worst storms in this city's history. Thousands and thousands of our members lost their homes, whose lives have been devastated. Our workers were at the forefront, manning shelters, evacuating people, preparing hospital beds, and moving people and rescuing people. In our own building, we were devastated. We were displaced for more than 8 months. But what we saw was only a warning shot. Hurricane Sandy was just the beginning. And so I said here, I stand with you in support, because if labor is going to become the catalyst for change, we must stand for more than just working conditions. We must stand for more than contracts. We must stand for environmental justice, the biggest threat to our humanity. If we bury our head in the sand, we will be victims of it. And the next hole we're going to be digging may be the hole for our own lives. Thank you.
All right.
Susan Kent, the president of Public Employees Federation, Fred Coe, president of New York State, UUP, and Barbara Bowen, president of Professional Staff Congress.
Public Employees Federation, we're a statewide union, and our workers are the professional scientific and technical workers of New York State. So I want to let you know right now, with the Hurricane Sandy money, it is being wasted on people that are doing political contributions instead of going for the resources that it should to make sure we're rebuilding our communities. So I will continue to speak out. My members will continue to speak out. But let's make sure the politicians hear our voices loud and strong. We are here to save our climate. We are here to save our climate. I want to read on this day about changing everything from Naomi Klein's new book, This Changes Everything. If we continue on our current path of allowing emissions to rise year after year, major cities will drown. Ancient cultures will be swallowed by the seas. Our children will spend much of their lives fleeing and recovering from vicious storms and extreme droughts. Yet we continue all the same. What is wrong with us? We have not done the things needed to cut emissions because those things fundamentally conflict with deregulated capitalism, the reigning ideology for the entire period we have struggled to find a way out of this crisis. We are stuck because the actions that would give us the best chance of averting catastrophe and would benefit all of us are threatening to an elite minority with a stranglehold over our economy, political process, and media. My own message: capitalism cannot solve the climate problem it has created. It's time for labor to be a movement again. If not now, when?
Something a little bit different, I would like to read to you a poem by Native American activist, political prisoner, Leonard Peltier. A prayer, and it's about healing. Grandfather, mysterious one, we search for you along this great red road you have set us on. Skyfather, Dunkishilla, we thank you for this world. We thank you for our own existence. We ask only for your blessing and your instruction. Grandfather, sacred one, put our feet on the holy path that leads to you and gives us the strength and the will to lead ourselves and our children past the darkness we have entered. Teach us to heal ourselves, to heal each other, and to heal this world. Let us begin this very day, this very hour, the great healing to come. Thank you.
It's my honor to bring up George Gresham, president of 1199, to address you.
Let history reflect that labor cares about this planet. This moment, when we're into the conversation or debate about climate change, it reminds me of something that I learned back when I was in school, that there was those who debated whether the world was flat or whether the world was round. We're here today to say that the world is round and climate change is real. proud to introduce one of our members, Merrily Williams. She's a nurse in a nursing home in Far Rockaway, which was devastated, as you know, by Hurricane Sandy, and she worked through that whole ordeal. Welcome, Merrily Williams.
The Rockaways was hit very hard. Our nursing home was hit as hard as it could be hit. The nursing home lost power. My coworkers and I had to remain to make sure, number one, that every resident was cared for, had a sense of security, and a sense of safety. In a time like that, nursing homes, hospitals, every healthcare facility is important to have good, healthy, strong, dedicated workers that will take care of the situation. We had to evacuate to other nursing homes. As a result, we lost many of our loved ones. The residents are our loved ones. So today, I am very, very glad that 1199 leads the march in representing climate change needed. What happened yesterday can happen tomorrow. We are all affected by climate change. I say to everyone, let's make a difference, because
Judy Sheridan Gonzalez, president of New York State Nurses Association, NYSNA.
Thousands of us rushed to areas hit by Superstorm Sandy 2 years ago, trudging through rain-soaked, pitch-black hallways in high-rises, rescuing and treating those who couldn't escape. Then Mayor Bloomberg had no concrete disaster rescue and repair strategy. That first week, there was no Red Cross, no FEMA, and no federal agencies to be seen. But municipal workers were there, night and day. Occupy was on the ground immediately with food, water, blankets, and makeshift clinics, working with nurses and doctors who volunteered after completing our own hospital shifts. After the generators were flooded at Bellevue and Coney Island hospitals, nurses carried hundreds of patients down darkened stairways, pumping air into breathing tubes and carrying infants in incubators to safety. And then the mold moved in, causing bizarre fungal infections and assorted respiratory diseases. Wall Street was underwater, but back in business in 3 days. Rich folks went to Bermuda while their homes were repaired, but most of our poor and working class neighbors have yet to see their homes rebuilt after 2 years of red tape and broken promises. Nurses were at ground zero after Hurricane Katrina, the earthquake in Haiti, the typhoon in the Philippines, and we had to ask, what's causing these catastrophes? Climate change is a healthcare crisis. We see its effects every day, particularly in poor neighborhoods and communities of color. The asthma rate in the Bronx, where I work, is the highest in the nation. Many diseases we treat are environmental in origin. Nurses are part of a broader movement, not only to heal our patients, but to rescue our world. It's high time for labor to take on this battle. After all, the same forces that exploit us on the job engage in hydrofracking, build hazardous pipelines, destroy forests, and belch greenhouse gases into our atmosphere. It's our for-profit market-based system that will inevitably lead to destruction of our planet. We need a system change to deal with climate change. System change for climate change.
The economic crisis and the climate crisis have a common solution: creating local, living, and interlinked economies where communities and workers are in charge of stewarding all of our air, water, and land resources. There are 350,000 unemployed people right here in New York City. A climate jobs program could put workers back to work, saving the planet and helping increase our resilience to unavoidable climate impacts. We could create millions of meaningful jobs and put our communities back to work, building the resilient infrastructure we need to address the climate crisis. From clean community power, zero waste, local food systems, to public transit and housing families. Let's hear from some of the people who are leading the way. Chris Erickson, Mr. Evangelist.
Today is the day that our children and their children will remember us for.
Today is the day that the human race stood together and said, enough. This march started long ago, when people of good conscience stood up and said, women have a right to vote. They marched to eliminate sweatshops and child labor. They marched to demand public education for all children and civil rights for all Americans. They marched to end the war in Vietnam and apartheid in South Africa. And their voices were heard, and there was change. Today we stand and say enough to the devastation that has been brought to our planet. Today we march, our voices will be heard, and there will be change. We're here because we know it is our responsibility to try to fix this. And we're joined by people from all over the world. This is not just a moral issue. This is an economic battle, and our adversaries are not going to just roll over. The stakes are high. The wealth of nations, corporations, and individuals are at risk. Their livelihoods and the jobs of working men and women are at risk. If we don't act, our coastal cities around the world will fall like sandcastles in the surf. The devastation will be immeasurable. Today we compel those elected officials with the responsibility to act in good conscience, to act now. It is their time, a defining moment for them, and represent us, the people who desire to protect our planet and our livelihoods, and to not be swayed by money, and we must hold them accountable.
Next up, we have Hector Figueroa, president of 32BJ SEIU, with Laurent Olief, member of 32BJ.
Are you getting ready to march?
Yeah!
Are you ready to take our economy back?
Yeah!
Save our planet?
Yeah!
As president of the 145,000 members of Local 32BJ. All our members are at risk and are already experiencing the impact of climate change. And it's not only about the rising waters, about the changes in weather, about the recurrent storms. This is also about what kind of a future we are going to leave to the next generations, to make sure that we create jobs that deal with the climate change problems of our time, that we turn our economy green, that we address income inequality, and of all the factors that can change the future, how we respond to climate change is the most important one. So let's unite and fight. Let's agitate and educate. Every crisis brings opportunities. We work in buildings, and we have built a strong green jobs program because buildings are responsible for a large portion of the gas emissions. We are doing our part. I'm standing here with our member, Marat Olfir, who has been awarded Green Super of the Year. He's being a trained member of 32BJ. He cares about his community. And we say, we're fighting for the future. Mara.
I'm the union member for 18 years, and I'm proud to be local union member 32BJ. I became a superintendent in 2007, and I'm proud to be green super of that building as well. The building was 60 years old, and lots of work was done there to increase its efficiency. I believe at about the same time, our union started green buildings programs, and I took all the classes. It was our chance to prove it to the world that we can do it, and how our union brothers and sisters can save and reduce pollution. I took all the classes and started implementing them in all the buildings I work. It's not only saving water, it's not only saving electricity. It's how you can prove it to everyone that the buildings can be much efficient. In 2011, my second building was here in the city. Even though the building was only 12 years old, we achieved lots of savings. We reduced water, we reduced gas consumption, and it was dramatic change for everyone in the building. New technology is available, and I was able to reduce electrical saving and on the gas consumption as well. Every building, our guys are working. We able to reduce a lot of stuff. And also, with the past Hurricane Sandy and Irene, I was in every building. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy to walk 35 stories up to bring water to the residents and help elderly. We did it. Our brothers and sisters, we walked the buildings, and it wasn't easy for us. There are so many ways we can slow down the climate change by educating one another and working together. Today we have many people here, and all of us will demonstrate the world leaders that we care about sustainable future.
Secretary Treasurer Teamsters, join Council 16.
We're 120,000 Teamsters strong here in New York. And we remember, as we all do, about what happened to Hurricane Sandy. When the Red Cross had to figure out how to get the logistics out to get the thousands of tons of aid to all the communities that needed it. It was the Teamsters that helped them to stage and get those trucks rolling to where they had to be. And we're very proud of that. Also, we're working hand in hand to change the climate. We've been lobbying for things that will lower the sulfur content in heating oil and diesel fuel. In a Hunts Point market, we're working to make sure that the vehicles there, that the emissions don't harm the community, and we're doing that all over.
Okay. ATU Local 1700 and J.P. Pagliaro, Vet Vice President, TWU Local 100.
We fight climate change every day on the job as we move New York and all the transit systems across North America. And we're working with our transit riders and communities to demand the massive increases in public transit that are necessary if we're going to reduce emissions to a sustainable level. We must make mass transit such an attractive alternative that nobody would even consider driving a car to work. We also fight climate change when we fight against privatization, providing for people's needs. Healthy communities on a healthy planet should never take second place to providing profits for billionaires. Organized labor has the power to effect immediate action against climate change, and labor needs to make this fight our number one priority. Let's march.
Greetings from the strongest union in New York City, Local 100. Now I'm here today, not as a Local 100 member, but as a union member, because I see around me all my brothers and sisters. Today we take the IWW slogan and say, we're one big union. Are we one big union? Are we one big union? Now, if you're a union person worth your salt, you know how to deal with the boss. If he wants to make you work in a dirty environment, what do you tell him to do? Shut it down. And if he doesn't give you respect on the job, what do you do? Shut it down. What are we going to tell the bosses of the world? Shut you down. Now, and I don't want my children to be prisoners of the earth where they can't go outside without a mask and they can't drink running water and the parks are polluted. I want them to live in a world where they could enjoy the earth, be one with the earth. But as a union member, I know how the boss thinks. He puts profits before my members. He puts profit before your health. Does the boss, what? Does he care about the planet?
No!
What are we going to do to the boss?
No.
Shut him down! Who got the power?
We got the power!
What kind of power?
Union power!
Who got the power?
We got the power!
What kind of power?
Union power!
Let's take back the agenda of climate change and tell the UN if they don't get the job done, the unions will.
We win! And that's why it's so important that I welcome of movements, immigration, environmental, LGBT, faith, union movement, I'm so proud to introduce our brother, the president of the Sierra Club, Michael Broom.
Are you ready for a clean energy future? Are you ready for a labor and environmental movement? All right, the Sierra Club is proud to be here today because we know that it was the labor movement who helped to bail out Martin Luther King from the Birmingham jail. It was the labor movement that provided the funds for the first Earth Day. It was the labor movement that led the apartheid movement around the world. And it's the labor movement that is taking the idea that our climate movement is unified and is making it reality. The Sierra Club is determined to inject optimism and determination into the climate fight. We can only do that because we know that we are standing shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters in the labor movement. We know that the same people that poison our air, the same companies that poison our water, that poison our atmosphere, are poisoning our democracy. So today we stand here together with you to fight for a clean energy future that works for everyone, that puts millions of people to work, that cleans up our air, stabilizes our atmosphere, and takes back our power. Thank you all for being here today.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.